So good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Welcome. Let's pray together, and then we'll have some patriotic music. We'll worship the Lord in the midst of thinking about our freedom through our country and also freedom in Christ Jesus. So let's worship the Lord together. Lord, we do worship you in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for the freedom that we hold dear in our lives. Thank you for our family and friends. Thank you for each one that's gathered here in this place. May you be exalted and honored in everything we say and do. And Lord, let true worship happen today as we think about you and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
As we sing the beautiful hymn, America the Beautiful.
Thank you. want to welcome you this morning. Our 10:30 traditional worship, and we've already started out with a bang, and it'll continue with a bang. So we're so glad that you're here and worshiping with us. Guests, we are really thankful that the Lord's led you to worship with us today. Take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Thank you.
This time, we're going to salute our veterans and those currently serving the armed forces. With the salute to the armed forces, we'll sing each branch of the armed forces song. And at that time, I would encourage all of our veterans or active service member to stand up. Also, one of our own, Jean Ann Scott, is going to stand up representing her granddaughter, Emma, who's just been deployed. And if there are others in our midst that have someone actively deployed that you would like to stand up and represent, it is appropriate for you to do so when we get to that branch of the services. So let's sing, enjoy this time, and celebrate our freedom, and thank those who gave their service to our country and the families that serve as well.
Till we're
so much for participating in that. Now we'll sing our offertory hymn, My Country, Tis of Thee, hymn number 807. We'll remain seated until the last stanza, and then we'll all stand together to receive our morning offering.
My country, tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cry, from every mountain side, let freedom ring. My native country, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills, like that above.
Good morning. What a joy it is to be part of the United States of America. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for the outpouring of blessings that you've given our nation. We just pray that you would continue to look down on us and forgive us for all of our sins. And this morning we come asking a special prayer on all those affected by the floods in Texas. It's just hard to comprehend. Be with the families and comfort them. And now as we get ready to return just a portion of that you've so graciously given to each and every one of us, we pray that you'd use these tithes and offerings in furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Deep within the heart has always known that there is freedom, somehow breathed into the very soul of life. The prisoner, the powerless, the slave have always known it. There's something that keeps reaching for the sky. And even life begins because a baby fights for freedom. And the songs we love to sing have freedom's theme. Some have walked through fire and flood to find
come, and some place tell itself for freedom's dream. Let freedom ring wherever minds know what it means to be in chains. Let freedom ring wherever hearts know pain.
Let freedom echo through the lonely streets where prisons have no keys.
We can be free and we can see.
God built freedom into every fiber of creation, and he meant for us to all be free and whole.
Free and whole. But when, my Lord, bought freedom through the blood of his crimson son, his cross stamped pardon on my very soul.
I'll sing it out with every breath. I'll let the whole world hear it. This
celebrate our freedom, for sure, freedom in our country. We sang the salute to the armed forces earlier, thanking the men and women over the years and currently today who've served. But we also thank Jesus for the freedom that he provided on Calvary's cross and exhibited God's power and the power of the resurrection. And thankful to him for victory over sin, death, and the grave. And one day we count on that second coming of Christ, and we'll celebrate with him face to face. In the meantime, We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, but we also pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God, the King of the universe, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ken, choir, the six that turned into the five today. Lynn Holyfield was gone with family, so he wasn't with the six today. But man, what a great Karen. How many instruments is Karen going to play today? So thank you, Karen. Thank you for all that led in this great, the men that brought in the flags. What a great celebration. So thankful. Thankful today for our freedom, that we can be here, that we can do this. We don't have any armed guards standing or telling us that we can't worship freely today, and we're thankful for that freedom, because there are people literally all over the world right now, they cannot worship, and they do not have the freedom to worship Christ in the way that we worship. And so we're thankful for that freedom. We're thankful for the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus as well. We celebrate that today. And we're going to celebrate that today in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, 23rd Psalm is our text. We've been doing a summer Psalms series. I initially thought we're not going to do Psalm 23 in this summer Psalms. We're just going to get to other Psalms. But I eventually said, no, that's just not possible. You can't do a summer Psalms series and not do Psalm 23. So we're there today. Psalms means songs, S-O-N-G-S, songs. And it's taken from the Septuagint, which the Septuagint is the early Greek translation of the Old Testament. The corresponding Hebrew word simply means this, a vocal or instrumental song. The word song is a short poem set to music. A poem is an artistic expression. So it is the art of expressing oneself. So the Psalms, when you look at the Psalms are simply God's children, God's people expressing how they felt about God. The great reformer Martin Luther called the Psalms a little Bible and a summary of the Old Testament. How true that is. But the Psalms are more than that. The Psalms are more than just good teaching. The Psalms point us to Jesus. All right, so Jesus himself, after the resurrection, before the ascension, so that time that we have in the Gospels where Jesus, after the resurrection, before the ascension, he's with his disciples, and here's what he said. All things must be fulfilled according to the law of Moses. So the law of Moses in the Old Covenant has to be fulfilled. And then he says, not only in the law of Moses, but in the prophets. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the prophets that have to be fulfilled in me. And then he says, not only the law of Moses, but in the prophets, but also in the Psalms concerning me. So the Psalms, Jesus said, the Psalms that we're reading today point to me, Jesus. So if indeed we read the Psalms and we study the Psalms, if we have a summer series on the Psalms, and we forget to point the Psalms to Jesus, then we're derelict in our duty. The Psalms are so much more. Proverbs, the wisdom literature of the Old Testament in general, is so much more than just good lessons that we need to learn about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. No, it's more than that. So when we read Proverbs, if all we get from reading a passage in Proverbs is that this is how we are supposed to take care of our money, well, then we've missed the whole point. This is how we're supposed to be a good husband or a good wife or a good parent or a good co-worker. Then we've missed the whole point. You can get good lessons anywhere. No, the Psalms, Proverbs, the wisdom literature, the prophets, the law, it all points us to Jesus. And if it doesn't point us to Jesus, then it means absolutely nothing. So in the summer series on Psalms, every single Sunday without fail, we will not finish until we have seen how that psalm points us to the gospel, how it points us to the truth. The Psalms were written by people expressing how they felt about God. Not only how they felt about God, but the hope of God's salvation. that we know living in the new covenant. They express joy, fear, anger, despair, thankfulness, trust, and so much more. So since the psalmist wrote these great words, think about just for a moment how much the times have changed. Think about that. Think about how much has changed in our world since the psalmist was a shepherd out in the field. And all that has changed in the world that we live in. Think about all of the many cultures that have existed. Think about all the cultures that exist right now today. Think about all the different cultures that have existed since the psalmist wrote these incredible words. Just think about the cultures, the changes, all the things that have happened in the world that we live in. And yet, one thing still remains, and that is this. Hope can be found in God and God alone. For those of us living in the new covenant, that is found in Christ Jesus. So, there's no greater psalm that expresses this incredible foundational truth, the hope that we find in God and God alone, than Psalm 23. Because, you know, I asked the question, if I make that statement, then I would think that somebody would be sitting in the congregation and they would ask the question, all right, well, tell us how. It provides salvation. So the Good Shepherd provides salvation, dependence, protection, comfort, encouragement, trust, faith, strength, and the list goes on and on and on. There is absolutely nothing that the Good Shepherd doesn't provide physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, from the top of this bald head to the bottom of these sore feet. Everything in between, God provides it. The Good Shepherd provides everything that you could ever want. And that is captured in Psalm 23. Last time I preached from this great passage was August of 2022. And what I was doing in the summer of 2022 was I was doing a series on the great metaphors of God. Light in the New Testament. Warrior in the Old Covenant. King in the New Covenant. The Rock in the Old Covenant. And so one of the great metaphors of God that we couldn't pass up in August 2022 was the metaphor of God as the Good Shepherd. Today, I'm going to read Psalm 23 using my translation. That's right. I'm going to use my translation. My translation is not, by any stretch of the imagination, the canon of Scripture. However, I'm going to use my translation. Back in 2020, we did a series on every phrase from Psalm 23. In November and December, it was at the height of COVID, so nobody was here anyway. We had 10 people sitting in the congregation, so y'all don't remember it anyway. But we did Advent that year using Psalm 23. Hope, peace, joy, and love. By using Psalm 23. And every week we would go to the next phrase and I would read it from King James and then New American Standard and then New International Version and then New Living Translation or the English Standard Version. I would read from all of these different translations and then I would say it again using my translation. When we got to the end of the year, the last Sunday of the year, I read the whole thing by using my translation. And I'm going to read that again today. So if you have your NIV or your King James or whatever you've got, just follow along as I read it from my translation. The Good Shepherd provides restful security. The Good Shepherd satisfies our hunger and our thirst. The Good Shepherd renews and restores us when we're tired and weary. We think we can't go on. The Good Shepherd guides us along the right path, bringing honor to His name. The Good Shepherd walks right beside us in the darkest valley so that we won't be afraid. The Good Shepherd invites us to His feast full of grace, right smack dab in the middle of our enemies. The Good Shepherd anoints us with His special oil to keep us from evil and to heal our wounds. And because of all of these blessings the Good Shepherd provides, our cup overflows with blessings that we could never earn, never deserve. And with these blessings, the goodness, mercy, and unfailing love of the Good Shepherd will pursue us forever. And last but certainly not least, we will live in the house of the Good Shepherd forever. And if that doesn't bring you comfort, then nothing will. And I'm not talking about my translation. I'm talking about Psalm 23. If that doesn't, it provides everything that you could ever want or ever need as a human being. If that doesn't provide comfort to you, then literally nothing will. Philip Keller, one of the great theologians on Psalms, writes, "Ancient Israel would have drawn great comfort from this psalm. Even to this day, there are many dangerous mountain paths in the Holy Land that must be traveled with great care. Such paths had to be followed to take sheep from arid lands to new watering holes. Thus, when the Lord leads His people through the valley of the shadow of death, He guides them to places of abundant provision, protecting them from falling under the control of the evil one who wields death as a weapon. Just as a shepherd uses the rod to ward off wolves and other predators and a staff to prod sheep along and to keep them on the right path, the good shepherd protects us from those who would devour us, making sure His people do not stray finally off the right path." So Psalm 23 promises divine protection, not an easy life, the table of grace in the midst of our enemies. And this side of heaven, we are still battling the world, we're battling the flesh, and we're battling the devil. We battle the world. Y'all, look at the world that you live in. I live in a world now that would do anything that it could possibly do to ward itself of these pesky little things called Christians. You know, Christ followers. They have no idea. They have no idea that as Christ followers, we are trying everything that we know how to provide light in their darkness. We're trying to provide life in the midst of their death. And yet all they can see is that we're judgmental and that we're angry. And they want to rid themselves of these things called Christians. And yet they want to embrace a religion or religions that will do everything that it can to kill them and to destroy them. It's absolutely insanity. So we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we battle that world. We battle this sinful flesh. Lord, have mercy. I don't even have time to go over the details of me and my flesh and my sin. We battle that sinful flesh and we battle the devil. But one day, church, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jerusalem fell in 586 BC to Babylon. And while they were away in exile to Babylon, it would have been so easy for them to have lost their faith in the Good Shepherd, in God who had taken care of them. But Isaiah the prophet would not allow it to happen. And Isaiah the prophet just kept pounding. He just kept pounding, talking about the cast down sheep, the state of Israel in the midst of exile, and still to this day, and all those who are unrepentant and stuck in their sin. But there's always hope. There's always the hope of the Good Shepherd. And having become like us, the Good Shepherd knows our human condition. He knows our weaknesses. He carries us in His bosom and He's therefore able to empathize with us like no other phony gods can. The Apostle Peter wrote these words, and it's as if the Apostle Peter knew somehow 2,000 years ago that there would be some guy that would be born in America named Joel Samuels. And that he would be as lost as anything could ever be lost. He would be just fumbling around in nothing but darkness. And it's as if Peter knew that. I don't know how the Apostle Peter knew me. I don't know how he knew that I was going to be walking in darkness. And yet he wrote these words just for me. Joel, once you were like a sheep that was wandering away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, who is the guardian of your soul. Calvin Miller once wrote this incredible, observation about the Good Shepherd. It's one of my all-time favorites, and I know I said that this morning in the early worship. I realized that I say almost every single week, whether it's a passage of Scripture or whether it's a quote, that this is one of my all-time favorites. And I know that as a preacher, I have that tendency to say those things and exaggerate. But y'all, forget that I've ever said that before. This is one of my all-time favorites right here. God, this is good. Now listen to what Calvin Miller says about the Good Shepherd. He says, the world is poor because her treasure is buried in the sky, and yet all of her treasure maps are of the earth. Listen to that. The world that you live in is poor. He's not talking about poor physically. Oh, there's all kinds of riches physically in our world that we live in. He's talking about spiritually. So he's saying the world spiritually is poor. It's poverty stricken. Why? Because her treasure is buried in the sky with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Her treasure is buried in heaven, where you can find only the truth of that treasure in God's Word. So her treasure is buried in heaven, but her treasure maps are of this earth. She keeps looking. People keep looking for the treasure map of this earth, and they can't find the treasure. Isn't that a perfect illustration of the world that you live in? He says, the old world we live in is a pretty sad ranch, and Satan is a heartless owner. He couldn't care less about our welfare or our souls. Under his tyranny, there are hundreds, thousands, millions of hungry, discontented hearts who long to enter the Good Shepherd's house, who ache for his care and concern. They simply have no idea that the Good Shepherd has truly invited them into his fold through the blood of his Son, Jesus. And so, they just keep on trying to find their way on Satan's ranch. But it's like trying to drain the ocean into a thimble. It just isn't going to ever happen. And they keep on trying. Think about that. Think about the world you live in. They keep on trying to find their way on Satan's ranch. But it's like trying to drain the ocean into a thimble. It just isn't going to ever happen. The heart of the gospel, church, in Psalm 23, is that the Good Shepherd provides everything we need. Everything. The heart of the gospel, pointing to the gospel in Psalm 23, is the psalmist saying to us today that the Good Shepherd provides everything you need. Life everlasting. Every single person that was at early worship and every single person at this worship service, every single one of us that walked into the doors of First Baptist Church today need everlasting life. And the Good Shepherd, through His Son Jesus, provides everlasting life. That's the gospel. The Good Shepherd provides abundant life. Now, I'm not talking about the money you've got. I'm not talking about the house you live in. I'm not talking about the car you drive or the clothes you wear. I'm not talking about material things, wealth. That's not what I'm talking about, abundant life. The Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road gave his life to Jesus Christ, and from that point until the time he was killed in this world, lived nothing but hell on earth. And yet Paul lived the abundant life. So that's what I'm talking about. And the Good Shepherd not only provides eternal life, everlasting life, he provides abundant life no matter what your circumstances are. And the Good Shepherd provides the freedom that we have from the condemnation from our sin. I am condemned, and I did it myself. I am responsible. And Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, came along and he took those chains off of my wrists, and he took those chains off of my feet, and he took those chains off of my heart, and he said, Joel, you're free. You're free. You are free. You are no longer condemned because of Jesus. That, church, is the gospel. And here's the best thing about the Good Shepherd. it is impossible for him to fail you. We make a mistake as preachers when we say, and the Lord will never fail you. No, it's deeper than that. It's not that just the Lord will fail you. Oh, he could, but he won't. No, 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 no. The good shepherd, it is impossible for the good shepherd to fail you. He simply does not have the capability. That, church, is gospel truth. Hold on to it with all your life. Father, thank you so much for that good word today that comes from Psalm 23. Great, familiar psalm. And thank you for that word. Thank you for the life that we have found in the Good Shepherd by providing us his son. If there's anybody that's here today, Father, that doesn't know Jesus, may they know him today. For those of us who know Jesus, burn it into our hearts, Father, that the Good Shepherd provides everything we need. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us is our invitation. If you've never trusted Christ, trust him. If you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand and as we sing.
Blessed Jesus.